Hi, I'm Lorraine.
And I'm Nina.
And welcome to Your Cake Dealer, a podcast about food from two very different perspectives.
Today's episode is sneaky food tricks. So we're going to talk about the sneaky tricks that brands, supermarkets, and restaurants use to get you to spend more money. But actually, before we talk about this, I'm going to talk about the snack that I just picked up from Lorraine, because you guys know I always get a treat. And we kept this tradition going. I have to go and pick it up from outside her house now. So it's sort of like a strange cake delivery service.
Well, and we are cake dealers.
We are.
So we're like a drug drop-off
situation. We have to stick with the theme. Otherwise, this whole podcast is for naught. So today I picked up this triangle cookie that's called a Hommentaschen, which, yeah, I know, I actually thought was a German food. And Lorraine had to inform me.
It is not.
It is not a German food. It is, in fact, a Jewish food. And as you guys may or may not know, I'm Jewish. So apparently the most uninformed, least Jewish person you will ever meet.
I think I'm more Jewish than you are, and I'm not even Jewish.
I think you are, because you also told me it was a cookie for Purim. And I didn't know that. But basically, so this is a triangle cookie. And inside the triangle cookie is some jam, and it's super easy to eat. It's really delicious. I think because you gave me about five. I've gone through two. Mm-hmm. I'm going to steal one later.
Are you going to fight for the last one?
Most likely. So I'm going to sneaky eat it before he gets close to it. And that's usually how I steal the last bit of food.
I was hoping you guys would wrestle for it.
If we happen to open the dish at the same time, that is exactly how we'd solve our problems, like we always do.
But Nina and Garth are not like any other couple I know. They wrestle each other
all the time.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not sexual wrestling. It's like Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Is that it?
Yeah, so it's not as weird as you guys think. It is actually a legitimate sport, but it is how we solve most of our problems. Unfortunately, Garth's a lot bigger and stronger and better at it. So usually that means he wins. Back to cookies. We're talking about cookies. Okay, yes. So these cookies, they're really simple, right?
Yeah. Like there's only like basic ingredients. And these flour, sugar, butter, and an egg, like three egg yolks, and jam. Just super simple to make.
So why is it that if you get a cake or something that's home-baked from a friend, because obviously I'm not making it myself, it always tastes better than if you buy it at a shop?
I think that part of the reason is that home cooks tend to use real butter. They don't use shortening. Shelf life isn't a problem, generally speaking, for home cooking. Whereas if you're selling something in a supermarket, shelf life is a big issue because they don't want to have stock that only lasts for a day or two. And preservatives actually add flavor, and not a good flavor. They actually change the flavor of an item. So I think in general, home cooking is generally the way to go. But of course, you have to go to the supermarket at times, and not everybody has time to do home cooking. That actually brings me to the topic, which is all about the sneaky tricks that brands use to get you to buy them. And I don't know, I had so much fun researching this.
Yeah.
And I'm a bit of a, yeah, I just went for, I think, a couple of hours just reading all about these things. And they're things from, I did look at a Lifehacker article and they had some really good points. So did you know that the color of the label actually affects how you perceive a product? So if you see something with a green label, your brain thinks it's healthier or better for you.
Oh, that makes sense. Because, yes. Or the, you know how people use natural colored stuff like brown paper bags on their whatever fake natural things. So that makes perfect sense. So if you want something to look organic or green or whatever, even if it's not, you're like, here are deep fried potato chips in a green packet with a leaf. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. It's very important. And like they use an example of Milo, which is not necessarily, I mean, I love Milo, and Milo cereal is not necessarily a healthy cereal. I think it's quite high in sugar. I haven't bought it in a long time. I used to be obsessed with Milo bars. I still love the original Milo bar. But, you know, that kind of thing, associating Milo, which is a sugary chocolate flavored cereal, with healthy is really interesting, because I do have that green. I think Milo is trying to
pretend to be
pitch
healthy
themselves.
Yeah.
you know, it's like an energy drink, and there's kids playing sport on the cover, and so is it healthy? I don't know. Probably
it's healthy for your mind, for the deliciousness of it.
Yes, I 100% agree, because I love Milo. Yeah. But, you know, that reminded me, when I was working in advertising, I had a client in a bank, and the colors are yellow and black. They told us the reason why they were yellow and black is because people thought yellow and black as a combination was really, especially yellow, was retail sales based. Oh. And I don't know, like, they must have done some market research on that, obviously, that people get paid a lot of money. And I thought that was strange, but all I think of is, you know, the do not cross signs and road signs, but apparently people think of retail sales because and money.
I find yellow and black quite ugly colors together, actually.
Yeah. It's part of road signs, right? So it's like danger. So
Or anyway. Prison tape. No, I don't know what prison tape is. I mean, when they cordon off something.
Yes. Yeah. Totally, totally. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm sure somebody got paid $1 million to figure that out.
Yeah.
And is probably just chuckling and going, oh, my God, they bought it. Yeah. Anyway, and you know those things on the boxes where the ticks and the seals of approval? I think most people know that they have to be paid for. So
a brand pays.
Well, brands pay a lot of money to get that tick of approval, to be able to use that.
You mean tick of approval, say it says like Heart Foundation tick? Or,
yes.
Oh,
exactly.
So that's,
exactly.
Oh, right. I didn't know.
It's not free.
But it means it has to fit a certain criteria. But even if it did, you still have to pay to get it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Correct. Okay. Correct. Yeah.
We should add our tick then. We could make money. We'll be like the tick of approval from us.
Well, I don't really do healthy stuff, so my tick of approval is not
going to be. It'll be delicious. It'll be like tick of approval for deliciousness.
Oh, my God. That's
I'm telling
that is
you.
A missing thing.
I'm the ideas person.
She is the ideas person. We are doing that. Everybody, you can't do that first. Well, you probably will, because we're not going to do it.
Yeah.
But like, you know, like, have you seen some labels when they say can help with weight loss or may help with weight loss? And I'm like, what do you mean? Oh, like, it can do anything. Like, that's just such an ambiguous claim.
Maybe underneath in the small print, it says if you don't eat it. Because if you don't eat, you will have weight loss.
Well, the wording is really important. So, like, they use an example of potato chips, and they always say 75% less fat, but it doesn't say what it's less fat than. It just says 75% less fat.
So it's 75% less fat than in a jar of butter.
Yes, or 75% less fat than their original one.
Oh, so, which could be the highest fat chips you've ever eaten.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's like leaving out information, making it deceptive. And then I think, I don't know, do you think most people, I feel like people know this, but it still attracts them, because I know it does with me. So all natural and no artificial colors and flavors are essentially quite meaningless, because most things are natural.
Yeah.
And, but I think it still gets people in. So, you know, those lolly brands that say that, people are still going to buy them. And I know, because I would still buy them, even though logically I'm like, that's a meaningless thing.
I think because generally I don't buy any processed foods, but I do agree that I would probably fall for that to a point as well. Because if I had one in front of me that said, full of bad products, full of unnatural flavors and colors, and the other one that said not, I'd go, oh, it's much better to go with the one that does not. Yeah.
Especially if you had kids or something, and you know, the colors are like a really big thing for kids. Like, so, and then there's like really laughable things like 99% fat free sugar lollies, where lollies don't really have fat in them anyway.
Yeah. They're just so sugar and water. Yeah. That's so true. And actually, a lot of people fall for that because they'll have, you know, fat-free stuff, and it's got so many calories that it will actually make you fat if you eat it, you know.
Or gluten-free. Gluten-free stuff that never had gluten in the first place.
Yeah, yeah.
Like gluten-free, some lollies, do they use? I doubt they use. I know that when I make lollies and candy, I don't need any flour whatsoever. So gluten-free. Okay, fine.
We magically extracted the non-existent gluten from this product. Mm, yeah.
Exactly. The one that I always find interesting, because I always look at calorie information. I don't know why. I just love looking at that. The one that always gets me is, well, sometimes I think they're inaccurate and to the point where it's much lower, and I'm like, I'm just going to go with your lie.
Yeah.
But the one that really gets me is cereal servings. They're so small.
Like, yes.
Who is eating half a cup of cereal? That's nothing.
Yes, exactly. That's so funny because it kind of relates back to the whole thing with calories, people eating over the amount of calories. Because when it says on the back of the packet per serve, and people read per serve, and then they never stick to the serve because it's pathetic. Yeah.
Yeah. If you did a bowl, like especially the bowl on the front of the packet, that's like three serves, I'm pretty sure. So yeah. What is with that? But I guess they want to, otherwise it would be 600 calories for a serve of cereal or something.
Yeah,
and so people don't want that for breakfast.
No, they're like, oh, yeah, per serve, and it's a tablespoon, and that's really not what you want for breakfast.
It was a delicious tablespoon of cereal I had this morning. And then there are things like no added sugar, which doesn't mean that it's low in sugar necessarily, because some items are naturally high in sugar, but also they can contain sugar substitutes as well, which I think is worse than having sugar.
So do you mean sugar substitutes with no calories or sugar substitutes with calories?
Both.
Oh,
yeah, you can add anything, but it's not sugar. So it's they can say no added sugar, but they've added other things. Because I think a lot of sugar substitutes, I'm not a fan of any of them.
Oh, no, they always taste weird. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Any of the artificial sweeteners taste a bit gross.
But yes, exactly.
Actually, you know what's funny? So my dad is diabetic and he always drinks orange.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he is. It's I don't think it's severe. Like he's not – I always get confused between type A and type B. You know, was it type 1 and type 2? I don't even know. But anyway.
It's 1 and 2.
Okay, so one that's not as severe, right? So he's not injecting himself. He just has to monitor his sugar levels. And he's always drinking orange juice. And he says to me, because he needs his reading glasses. So he goes, can you check if there's any sugar in this? And he hands me an orange juice container. I go, no, it's 100% orange juice. You know, 100% oranges. He goes, but can you read if there's sugar? And I went, Dad, there is sugar because it's orange juice. And he goes, no, just check the back. And I went, yeah, okay, so there's this many grams of sugar. And he went, well, then I can't drink it. I said, well, I don't understand because you always drink orange juice. This is just made of oranges. Of course, there's sugar. And he could not compute that oranges are sugar. So, parents can be very annoying. But on this occasion, it was really irritating. Because this was like a 15-minute conversation in a shop where you've just reached the front of the queue.
Oh, it was, and is everybody behind you like just going, I wonder if he'll get it.
Yeah, no. And then they're all like, no, he definitely won't. This child should give up.
Did they follow you out just to see like what the resolution was? Sometimes I want to know what ended up happening with that conversation.
Yeah, somebody's writing it in one of those things like shit I heard in the train or whatever, you know.
You became a meme and you didn't even know it.
Yeah. Okay, so back to what you were saying. Yeah.
Yes. One thing I didn't know was that light, or L-I-T-E, doesn't necessarily mean light in calories. It can actually refer to flavor.
I didn't know that.
Who wants that? Who wants lighter flavor?
We've extracted flavor from this cheese, and now it is less flavorful.
Exactly.
I make all my food light in flavor.
That's your special talent.
Yes.
And okay, so let's talk about when you go to the supermarket, because we all have to do that. I mean, I don't know anybody that just goes market shopping. So did you notice they often play slow music to make you feel less rushed and happy to spend more time and money in the store?
Oh, I didn't notice, and now I'm going to think about that.
I'm trying to think back, and I do notice when they play music I like, and I will stay longer just to hear the rest of the song. But I'm pretty sure I've never heard dance music or really fast tempo upbeat music supermarket.
I can't even think that I've heard. If you asked me if supermarkets played music, I'd say no, I don't think so, because I'm not conscious of it. So now I'm going to go to the supermarket and listen to what they're playing.
Yeah, totally listen to it. And I've definitely noticed this. And I think it's true pretty much every supermarket I've ever walked into, but they put the healthy fruit and veg at the front. So yeah. You shop there first, and then you don't feel guilty about buying the not so healthy food that goes in your basket later. It's like eating your vegetables first.
I would never have thought of that because, well, that's not really how I function. But who knew that if somebody...
But have you noticed that it always starts
It's always like that, every single one.
Yeah.
It's stupid not to think that there is a rational explanation for every one of the supermarket's decisions because they're all uber wealthy, right? I mean, and so of course they have people studying the spending habits and purchasing habits of their clients.
And I don't know if you've noticed this, but I definitely noticed this. Once I read it, I was like, oh my God, that's true. But dairy departments are always at, this is what I found from a Nat Geo article, but dairy departments are always at the, as far from the entrance as possible. So usually at the back of the supermarket, because people usually buy like one dairy item, whether it's milk, cheese or eggs. And so you have to walk through the whole supermarket to get to dairy. Dairy's always at the back.
Yes. So you know how, what's it called? Oh, that Swedish brand that makes furniture. Or is it Swedish?
IKEA.
Okay. Yes. You know how IKEA make you walk through the whole store to get? So that's kind of like the supermarket because they've based this on everyone purchasing some sort of milk product. I mean, even if it were almond milk or whatever, they're always going to buy it. Very smart.
Eggs, cheese, yogurt or whatever. You know, you'll buy at least one thing. So you have to go down one aisle at least. So I thought that was interesting because I definitely have noticed that. And, you know, in the middle of the aisles, just on the eye line, products pay to be there. So the less popular items are at the bottom and the more popular or expensive brand names are in the center or at the eye line. I mean, my eye line is lower than everybody else's eye line because I'm only 5 foot tall. But
whose eye line are they basing this on? Imagine that you find out that on the higher eye line, because, you know, men are usually taller. I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. So on the higher eye line, they put products that are more appealing to men. And imagine on the lower eye lines, I bet you they do that.
I'm going to check it out next time. Yeah. I think you might be right. I am actually interested to see how that goes. But color also makes a big difference. So you probably don't know this. Well, actually, you do go to a butcher's for Marley's food, Nina's dog. But the displays of meat are always tinged pink or tinted pink to make the meat look more appealing.
Okay, wait. So there's, as in tinted, you mean there's a dye or something?
No, there's a light, a pink light.
Oh, I shining. I thought they were dropping dye on the meat. Wow. No. Okay. That sounds a bit better. Okay.
Yeah, it's harmless. Yeah. It's just a light for the display. So they tint it pink so it looks a bit more, I guess, fresh because sometimes meat can look a bit grey. So the pink makes it look nicer. And I thought this was super interesting, but... there was a study that found that customers bought more bananas if the banana peel or the outside of the banana was a particular color. So it's called Pantone color 12-0752 or Buttercup. So they didn't want the brighter Pantone color 13-0858, which is called Vibrant Yellow. They wanted Buttercup. So people have this unconscious or subconscious preference for certain banana colors. So then banana growers planted the crops under certain conditions to produce this buttercup color.
Wow. Wouldn't this be fun to experiment if I laid out three different bananas to you and I said, pick the most appealing banana?
Yes.
I mean,
yes,
I'm not sure totally. Exactly how we'd know which was the right color though.
Yeah. And I don't know. I feel like maybe they don't even do vibrant yellow anymore. Most bananas are that same color. When you think of some are paler, actually.
I don't know. Now I'm going to look. I'm going to look at all these things.
I'm literally looking at the bananas in my fruit basket now.
Well, mine are almost off.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Anyway, so with supermarkets, they also, I know we've talked about this, they always tend to be devoid of external time cues. So you have no windows or skylights. Most of them, some of them do. And they usually don't have a clock and they don't have internet either. So,
okay, is that on purpose? Because that's very irritating.
Well, it's so you kind of forget time.
Well, how about me where I've taken a screen – oh, I haven't taken a screenshot because that's what I have to do now. I have a recipe online that I'm looking at. So I go into the supermarket and then I reload the recipe and then I don't know what they are. And, you know, I think that actually this is probably the reason why I usually don't get the right ingredients. So it's the supermarket's fault.
Well, some supermarkets, they do have internet, I will say. Yeah, some do, but some of them notably don't. You're like, why? We're not in a basement. We're in like a regular building and I can't get internet.
And how about when you want to phone someone and go, do you need anything? Or did I forget something on the list?
A lot of people are on their phone in the supermarket trying to figure out, do you want this brand or do you want that one? I know that when I send Mr. NQN off to the supermarket, I will invariably get at least 10 texts from him.
Yes, that's there's a meme going around and I think it says, honey, when you go to the supermarket, if they have avocados, shit, I can't remember the meme. I think it says, can you go buy a liter of milk?
Remember the word for avocado, Nina? That is I do well.
I think I've got it. Hang on. It goes, honey, can you go buy a liter of milk? And if they have avocados, can you buy 5? So the husband comes back with 5 liters of milk and he goes, yes, they had avocados.
Yes, we are living it. So that's very appropriate. So, but it's not just supermarkets. There are also tricks that restaurants use as well. And I know how much you love a restaurant, but the menu is often designed to make you want to order things because, well, duh, it's a restaurant. They want you to order.
So can I ask you if this is one of the things? They make normal products sound delicious. Like say they're going to go salad. They go hand-tossed, aerated, fluctuated salad. They add all these words to it. Is that what they do?
They totally do. That's actually my first point. So.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But they don't use fluctuated, I'm pretty sure. I've never seen that on a menu. But like they use words like sweet and creamy, which are a bit sexy, you know, tender, juicy, drenched, delicious, tangy sauce. So, you know, all of those things are very provocative and sexy and you kind of want to eat it.
I guess.
But, I mean, fluctuating
is not
maybe
sexy.
Flaccid is not sexy.
And this might be why I have not been hired yet to write a restaurant menu.
That would be, I'd love to see a restaurant menu written by you because you don't remember most of the ingredient names.
That's true. I don't.
Long green vegetable that makes your pee smell funny.
Order it now. It's super fluctuated.
So they also do things, and I'm pretty sure most businesses do this. So it's not just restaurants, but they price things at $9.95. instead of $10. But on menus, sometimes there's no dollar signs at all. So you kind of don't even think of money.
Yeah, I wouldn't eat there because I kind of go by price a lot when I eat out.
Well, they do have prices, but they just don't have the dollar signs.
I thought you meant they don't put the price on the menu.
Oh, God, no, like, no. I'm pretty
I
sure
would
that's,
not eat
that's,
at that restaurant.
I wouldn't eat there either. So but, you funny. Know, like there was like a really old-fashioned thing where the guy used to get – I've never seen this, but I've heard
have.
It.
I know what you're going to say. Yes.
When the guy gets the menu with the prices and the woman doesn't, like, hello. Rude.
Okay, so this has actually happened to me a few times, but
– Has it?
On each occasion, it was a really nice arrangement because it was meals where – So say, for example, when I went out to London and my clients took me out for dinner, they took me to a really fancy restaurant. I think it was in the Ritz or something. I can't even remember. You know, where they lift the tops off at the same time of the food and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I didn't have prices on my menu. And I don't know whether his wife did or didn't, but he did. And I know it's an assumption, but it's a fair assumption because I'm obviously the youngest person sitting there and they're taking me out. And so I didn't have to worry because usually if someone takes me out for dinner, I go down the price side and then I order across. So I couldn't do that. So I couldn't be conscious of what I was ordering. And then this happened in Hong Kong where my father's friend took myself and Garth out for dinner to a club where he was the member of one of these yacht clubs or something. And it was exactly the same thing. So our menus didn't have prices on. His must have done. But it was so nice. You knew, well, you weren't ordering by price and it was obvious he'd taken us somewhere where he knew that. So I wasn't embarrassed ordering. I wasn't thinking, oh, I've just ordered something that was expensive and now he has to pay.
Okay. I don't like the assumption.
They
I
could ask.
guess. I don't like the
I
assumption that,
think
and
that's
maybe
yeah.
they knew with
But
him,
yeah, well they
you
well
know,
he
that
was a
that's.
club member, right? But what they could do is they could ask, I don't know, that would be awkward. So who's paying? And then when you haven't actually agreed on it, both of you are like, you're paying, no, you're paying, no, you're paying. And then yeah, they don't get many customers.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's not a big thing here because I've never come across it, but I haven't come across it overseas either. I've always seen prices.
We should
But it's happened
definitely.
to you, so it's still happening.
Yeah, well, I would like to know if any of you guys listening would like that or not like that if someone took you out. It's interesting. I'd like to know.
What was I going to say? Oh, there's this really big thing called decoy pricing, which I kind of knew about, but I didn't really know about. So say there are two items and there's a very expensive item and like a medium priced item. And
Yeah.
the expensive item is just there to look to make the medium priced item look reasonable. So
Oh.
say there's like a $95 steak. You're not going to get the $95 steak because it's $95 for a steak. But there's a $65 steak. 65 is still expensive for a steak, but it seems more reasonable. Or even if it's
Wow.
45, yeah. So you go, oh, I don't want the $95 one because that's really expensive for a steak. But maybe I'll go to the 45 or $65 one. So that's decoy pricing.
Oh, and it's the same steak.
Well, it's not the same steak, but
Oh.
the more expensive thing is just there to get you to buy the medium price item, which is still expensive, but
Oh,
you
so
know, it makes it
imagine,
look more
yeah.
reasonable.
So imagine at the restaurant they have one steak that's the $95 steak, and then all the others are the 60 because they think, well, no one's going to order the decoy one. And then two people order it, and they're like, oh, we only had one decoy steak.
That was not an actual item. I'm sorry, we're out of it. And I thought there was this really interesting point about the second least expensive wine. So generally, people don't want to order the cheapest wine because they don't want to seem super cheap.
Yeah.
But restaurants can, some of them intentionally mark up the second least expensive wine because that's the one you'll go for. You won't go for like the super cheap one, but you'll go for the next one up. So they'll mark up that one because they're like, most people are going to buy that one or order it.
Yes, and it is embarrassing to order the cheapest wine. Or depending where you are, because
It
at a pub, I often just order the cheapest wine. But when you're at a restaurant and it's quite a nice restaurant, and then you go, I'll have the cheapest wine, which I have said to someone actually, and Garth was very embarrassed because I said to the waiter, I'll have the cheapest wine. But you know,
You've
usually,
actually said those words, like straight out.
yes, because you know, I
You're so
often
funny.
have no filter. So, but you know, usually I think when you're around people, you don't want to go, oh, I'll have the cheapest wine. So you order the second one up so you don't look like a cheapskate.
Exactly. And I think they know that because I think they would have that, definitely have that data. And then, you know, there's a thing where they offer drinks up front because drinking alcohol makes us more likely to like throw caution to the wind and indulge and order
Yeah.
things. So getting people, you know, a little bit happy, you know, and celebratory is good for business. I think the next point I'm about to make is a really like, it's an annoyance for a lot of people, and it's not being offered tap water. When
Oh,
they say, "Would you like
yes.
still a sparkling?" The you know, good places will say, "Would you like still sparkling or tap?" But some of them only say, "Would you like still a sparkling?" And then you have to ask for the tap water. And you
Yes.
know, it's not like they treat you like with disdain when you ask for it, but you have to ask for it. And most people, not most, but some people definitely wouldn't want to. It's like not ordering the cheapest wine.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. It's always awkward when you have to say that. I mean, it's you get like I'm not super embarrassed to say no, I just want tap water, but the fact that you have to bring it up,
Yeah, I
yeah.
like it when they give it as the option. I mean, I usually like sparkling water, but it's nice to just have it as an option.
Yeah.
I found this really interesting article on Eat This where they talk about the psychology of it and the psychology of restaurants. So I think most people would know this or have guessed this, but you know, the amuse-bouche, the little thing at the beginning, the little mouthful of food at the beginning. So that is to create a sense of indebtedness without spoiling your appetite. So you feel like, oh, they've done something nice for you and without even being paid for it. But then when it comes to recommending an ex more expensive entree or an extra dish later on, you feel like you've already like, you know, been given something for free. So we can just order that, you know, more expensive item.
I thought that it was just to show you how delicious their stuff is.
Well, I guess you're already going to order anyway. Like, you're in the restaurant, so. But yeah. Look, maybe that's like a really, it's not the nicest way to put it. Maybe some restaurants just want to do.
Show off their
cooking. Show off.
Maybe the chef's like, you never give me any freedom. And then the owner has to go, you're allowed to make the mise bouche.
And I don't know whether you find this. When they ask you whether you would like bread and olives, sometimes it's complimentary, but sometimes it's not.
Okay,
and
I wish really they'd tell you. Yeah, it infuriates me when they go, would you like bread? And they drop off the bread and then you see it on the bill. It's $5 for a tiny piece of bread or something.
Yes. So we went to a restaurant. It was a beautiful restaurant. And bread and olives was $15. So I was like, oh, okay. He just said it, would you like some bread and olives? But he didn't.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's not smooth to say this, but I mean, it's like when they say, would you like fries? Has anybody ever said no? I am completely unable to resist fries.
Yes.
So when they say, would you like fries? My answer is 150% yes.
But you also never assume fries are free. No one's ever assumed that. But because bread is often complimentary, it's easy to make that assumption.
Yeah. And then I thought this psychology part was really interesting. So a good waiter or an experienced waiter, I say waiter as in like both genders, if somebody flaunts wealth or is trying to impress people at the table, the waiter might mention an expensive wine option briefly, but then they might push another bottle that's better value. But the person that's trying to impress may buy the more expensive wine to show that they don't need better value. So, and you know, other tricks are like, you know, when they identify the alpha person at the table, so that's like the first thing they do, and then they use the ego of the alpha as leverage, so they can use that to get them to buy a more expensive cocktail or a bottle of wine, that by implying that, like the alpha, it's special. And then they identify the beta at the table, so then, you know, the one lower than the alpha.
Yeah.
And the beta is the person that wants to be or impress the alpha. And then that person may buy the more expensive bottle of wine or cocktail or pick up the check, trying to impress. So there's a whole psychology. And, you know, wait, staff are really smart. Like they can really figure out who's doing what at the table.
Yeah, well, I guess because, I mean, in most jobs, the people that do better are people that can read people. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I did notice that if you go, what wine would you recommend? They always recommend a super expensive one. And that irritates me because how many people are going to go with the super expensive wine?
Yeah,
have they found that works? Because it makes it an awkward conversation where they recommend the $100 bottle and you have to go, I'm not going to spend $100. I'll take the $20 bottle.
Or if you're Nina, I'll have the cheapest wine.
Thank you for your recommendation. This is very kind and insightful. Now we'll just take the cheapest wine.
What do you got? So I don't know. I thought though they were really interesting. I got into a rabbit hole about these supermarket and restaurant tips because brand tips, because there's so many things that we see day to day, but we don't necessarily know that they're selling to us.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the whole world nowadays, isn't it? Like even in films where they've got sneaky product placements and stuff, but you just don't realize it's being done to you. It's like food propaganda.
So guys, have you noticed any of these things when you've read labels or gone to a restaurant or shopped at a supermarket? You should email us and tell us if you've noticed that about the music or the bananas. I mean, geez, if you can tell that Pantone color, you're amazing. But email us at hey@yourcakedealer.com.
Yes. And also, I wonder if anyone's going to start shopping the other direction now. Like go to the cheat foods first and then come back through the veggie foods and see if you buy healthier foods. Tell us.
That's your mission. That's your mission.
Yeah.
And your next supermarket trip, Nina.
Yeah, that's how I'm going to shop. Okay, guys.
Always remember to be cool and be kind. See you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye.